Thank you, Ryan, for reading God's word. So, Lord, we ask for your blessing, even as we turn to your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A very blessed new year to all of you. And I thought that as the year turns, it's good that we pause to give thanks. And towards the end of my sermon, we'll have a chance to look at the video, which gives an overview of how the Lord has blessed us in Cathedral in 2016. And I want to, therefore, look at the whole topic of thanksgiving, growing in thanksgiving. That's the title of my sermon. So, 2017 will be a year, another year of changing and growing. In what ways will you change? In what ways will you grow? Now, we will change and grow in all sorts of ways. But I found through life and experience that if you really want to grow spiritually, you really want to grow in your Christian faith, you have to be intentional. The world calls us in a different direction. The world influences us. And if you let things be, you're not likely, at the end of this year, you likely look back and have some regrets, right? But if you are intentional and if you plan for this year, you're saying, Lord, I want to change, I want to grow. Yeah, this year can be a year of growth for you. But this afternoon, this evening, I want to look at Thanksgiving, how we can learn to grow as a thankful person, to grow, to be a thankful person. It's often been mentioned or observed that here in Singapore, Singaporeans generally are not very thankful, not very affirming. I was talking to this Filipino sister who is actually very active in creative arts, secular as well as in church. And so one day she was telling you, Pastor Terry, you Singaporeans are very different. When we say good, you say bad. When we say very good, you say good. When we say excellent, then you say very good. And so you know your standards are too high, and you don't often affirm people. And so this is something that's part of our culture. I can still recall there's one time I was very active in Alpha Singapore. So I was making an annual trip to London. And this first trip I went back to London because Holy Tree, Brompton, is where the Alpha course started. So I was going back there, visiting London for the Alpha International Conference. And we had to do a report, being the national director. So many national directors of different countries. And so it was quite a scary thing to do. My accent, I'm not sure that whether they understand. So for the first time, I speak in a very international audience. So I give a report, what's happening in Singapore. I crack a few jokes, and thankfully, it went through quite well. And so after that, I sat down, wondering, how did my presentation went? And then this English lady next to me, she looked at me and said, patted me on my back and said, "That was brilliant." You know, all my life, no one has told me that I was brilliant. Now, you've been following my sermon, you know my family upbringing and so and how I was the least favorite child in the family. And so all the things I've accomplished in life, as a boy, my father hardly praised me. Right, so I just grew up under this sense of underappreciated, right? So for the first time, someone told me, "You were brilliant." Wow, so I was in cloud nine. But so the conference progressed on into lunchtime, and so there was a lunch break. And this same sister turned to me and said, "Where are you going for lunch?" "Oh, I'm going to lunch at a cafe nearby." Then she said, "That is brilliant." So welcome to London. Welcome to UK. So I realized that's just a way of speaking. Everything is so. Since then, every time I go back, I realize everybody say the same. "That's brilliant. That's brilliant." So now you hardly hear this in Singapore, right? We don't use the word brilliant, so I'll reserve it for the perfect score student, the IBB 45 perfect score. That's brilliant, right? That's our Singapore culture. And so as Christians, we find hard to be thankful. We find hard to be affirming. We look at something that's good. At a piece of paper, if there's a black dot, we say there's a spot on it, right? We find it very difficult to look at our children, some of your parents. You know what I'm talking about, right? A child is doing well, yet you're always comparing them with other children, and somehow you find it so difficult to be grateful. So a lot needs to be said about being grateful. Right. So this is a classic passage. And I want to look at Thanksgiving because I believe that this quality is essential to be a strong Christian. Because a grateful person is a strong person. Right to his dying day, his faith will be strong if he's a grateful person. It's not easy to take down a grateful person. Right? A grateful person is that has a tremendous influence. He or she is not easily influenced by his environment. In fact, they change their environment wherever they go. So this is a classic passage in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, on Thanksgiving, the healing of the 10 lepers. And I thought it's good. It's the start of the year that we look at this. The first thing I want to say is that gratefulness is a response to who we were. The gratefulness, people are grateful, are those who remember where they came from, how dire the situation were in the past, and how good and gracious God is. So we have in this passage the story of the 10 lepers, and they stood at the distance. And they cried out to Jesus, "O Son of David, take pity on us." It's found in verse 13, Luke chapter 17, verse 13. And so they stood at the distance, and they cried out with a loud voice. Now, you don't see many lepers in Singapore because it's now more or less a curable disease. By and large, it is. But during the times of Jesus, it was not. And one of the reasons why a leper is so disfigured is because he or she has lost the ability to sense pain. The nerve endings have died. And so when they walk on broken glass, they'll be unaware. They're walking on broken glass, right? So as a result, they'll be highly disfigured, yeah? And so it's a visual horror. And so a leper faces a lot of stigma. So visually, you see a person, you get turned off. And so they are kept at a distance. And then there's this mistaken idea that it's infectious, the disease. So as a result, they were kept at a distance. There's a social stigma. It's a big thing to be a leper. You're basically isolated. And so they stood at a distance. So they couldn't come near to Jesus. They weren't allowed to come near to Jesus. And because stood at a distance, you have to shout. Right? You have to shout, "Jesus, please have pity on us." This leprous condition, the Bible often uses it to refer to our spiritual condition. For we too sometimes lose our ability to sense what is right and what is wrong. Right? Our spiritual nerve endings are very dull, right? Sometimes. The Bible sometimes describes us as fallen asleep, right? We need to wake up. And so there's this alienation and shame too. See, when we sin, we get into a spiral. We can't sense God, then we sin, and then we feel even worse. And this sense of shame, this sense of alienation from the presence of God, is almost like to be in hell. To be in hell is where God is not. And so they stood at a distance, they shout, and there's a picture of who we were as well. The Bible often starts off by calling us to a higher life, right, to follow Jesus. Very often reminds us, remember what we were. I can quote many verses, but one from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm not sure I have it on PowerPoint, maybe not. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, 13 says, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners of the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." Remember. And I always need to remember at the age before the age of 13, right, what I was without Christ. And verse 13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." You once far away, who stood at a distance, and the only form of communication with God is to shout, hoping God will listen and take pity on you. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So gratefulness, a grateful person is someone who has not lost his sense of memory. He's not suffering amnesia. He or she remember how God has been very good to him or to her. You remember how God has been very good to you. Why do we say grace, right? Till today, we say grace. I cope, and sometimes I have to say grace as well, being a pastor. And the children will be waiting impatiently, right? Because grace stands in the way of them eating a delicious meal. And you, when you say grace, you bow your head, you smell the food even more, you know? Faster, you know? And so my family prefer me to say grace because I'm very quick. But if my wife who say grace, it'd be longer. And she would pray for this, give thanks for this, give thanks for that. Took an intercession time, you know? Right. But we say grace because the attitude of thanksgiving is so important, right? To remember that God is the source. And someone has, of course, cooked too, right? Someone has get the beautiful cabbage and turned it into a beautiful dish. And so we're thankful for each step of the way there's a meal now on the table. We can actually have a meal on the table. That is something we need to give thanks. Some parts of the world, today as we talk, they're not even able to have a meal together. I'm not sure that I have it in this PowerPoint. The next slide. This is a beautiful picture of the left. It's my family. On the extreme left will be my parents-in-law, Dr. Loti Fan and Dr. Margaret Low. Both doctors, one is a pediatrician, the other one is more public health. So that we are the bloodless doctor. So you can try and say. In any case, Tifan hails from Taiping. He comes from a very ordinary, a rather poor family in Taiping. He did well in school, he received scholarship to study in London. So many, many years ago, in those days, they don't fly, they sail, right? You heard the story of Lee Kuan Yew, very similar. So when he arrived in London, he was very, very poor. Really, really poor, the cold, having to adjust, sharing with us, having to adjust all the multinational. It was a very, very lonely experience. And he had a very, very low budget. And so he was telling us how he often had to just eat bread and cucumber. That's it, sandwiches. And so he longed to eat ham and things like that. So sometimes he said he would bring his piece of bread, the cucumber, and stand in front of the butcher and look at the ham on the window and imagine as he eat that the ham is between the bread. And so, now, extreme right, by the way, is the best ham in Singapore. Next year, this year, Christmas, you remind me, I'll tell you where to get it. But someone gave us a present of a bone-in ham. That again, I want to give thanks, right? So it came Christmas Eve, and so we were having that for lunch, you know, as a family. And my dad-in-law was there, and we laugh and joking now how times have changed, and we can be grateful that God now has blessed us and blessed us with abundance. Indeed, my dad has many reasons to be grateful, and the Lord did bless him with good years, good health, 80 plus, still enjoying his grandchildren and serving the Lord. So we need to remember where we were. So this song, if there's a quick guitar, I may sing to you, but I don't feel like singing today. So this song that my senior pastor loves to sing, my first senior pastor many, many years ago now, let's pick up his guitar. In a very retro way, the style of those days, you know, when they sing. The title of the song is Roll Back the Curtains of Memory. Maybe I just sing the chorus for you, a cappella. It goes this way. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human. And humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Right, it says, roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Roll it back. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. The day I was just talking to my family, what if I've not met your mom? What if I've not met the Lord Jesus Christ? What will we be doing today? Maybe char kway teow somewhere, you know, with a big pot belly, char kway teow, you know. I'm not sure what I'll be today. You know? Right? Maybe having a few wives, I don't know. Right? Living a very purposeless life, a selfish life maybe. So remember, I'm human and humans, we forget. Right? When the Lord has prospered us, we forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Gratefulness starts with remembering who we were. And if you always remember who you were, you always be grateful, right? Your fortunes may change with time as you grow older. Things may do, some of you may lose your job or may a salary cut, whatever it may be. But you always remember how the Lord has blessed you. You always be strong because you're a grateful person. Secondly, gratefulness comes to us because of what God has done, right? It's not about a psychological way of thinking or of just changing your way of thinking. It's just simply a response to what God has factually done for each one of us. And this is certainly true for the lepers. Out of 10, everyone was healed, right? They were told to see the priest, and on the way, and they were trying to show themselves to the priest, they were healed. Perhaps gradually. I'm not sure how. You can still imagine this. Wow, I can walk. Wow, my skin now is back to as if a newborn, a newborn babe, the skin of a newborn babe. And so they suddenly discovered that, wow, they are now changed. So it's a huge reversal. But only one returned to give thanks. Only one. And he was a Samaritan. Now, of course, that's making a very important theological point. Now, thanksgiving, brothers and sisters, is a response to what God has done. It's more than just a perspective. It is a perspective, yes, but it's not something that's without substance. Have you heard someone who would try to tell you, if you are complaining about your shoes, think about those who don't have feet to wear them. Right? So maybe your wife is complaining. Oh, you know, I need to buy a new pair of shoes. Think about those who don't have feet to wear them. Right? My youngest daughter had a wisdom tooth extraction last week. So I was driving her to work because it's near here, the dentist. So imagine I would tell her as you're driving, if you are worried about, it's going to be painful because she had, this is the second one, the first one was painful. If you're worried about the pain, imagine those who had to go for a major cancer surgery. Of course, I wouldn't say that. Because it's strange we are comforting a person, right? But comparison. So it's hollow. It's false comfort. So you never ask a person to be thankful in that manner. And that, I think, brothers and sisters, is not Christian Thanksgiving. Christian Thanksgiving is not something that's absent. Christian Thanksgiving has substance to it. Right? It has substance to it. And being grateful is to affirm the truth, not to deny it. It's not about trying to live in a world of post-truth. That's a big word, 2016 Oxford Dictionary, right? The word of the year, post-truth. It's not just about putting a blinkers on, ignoring some other things, and just give thanks to God. You know, this week, I pray no rain. Then no rain. I give thanks to God. Never mind all the bad things happen. I give thanks to God. God is real because I pray that there's no rain. I pray for taxi. Taxi turn up. Everything else crumbling around his life. Oh, taxi came. I give thanks to God. No, you give thanks to God for everything in life. Because you trust that He is in control. Biblical Christian approach of thanksgiving. Embrace everything in life. Not just partial. Now I can go on about this. This is a big topic on thanksgiving, right? But I just quote two verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think, really, really think about it, right? Is that possible? All the circumstances that happened in the year 2016, and the Lord is asking you, look at them and give thanks. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, I urge them, first of all, that requests and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for everyone, including your boss. Everyone. Very hard, right, for some of you. Or to give thanks for your colleagues. But you really, really think about it. How is that possible? Of course, we don't give thanks for evil. You can never give thanks for all that's gone on in Mosul or Aleppo, right? We don't celebrate evil. But even in moments of pain, you can have thanksgiving because you're trusting that God is sovereign, He's in control, and justice will be done. Sooner or later, justice will be done. And so we grow in gratefulness when we reflect on the truth of Christ. Jesus said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And so you learn to give thanks because you embrace the whole of life. Sometimes people come up to me and say, Pastor, how do you give thanks? How do you become positive? You know, because my wife sometimes cooks something for me, and she expects me to say something nice. But I'm an honest person. Right? Some church members are afraid to invite me for a meal because they feel paise. What if it's not good? Then they can't call, right? I'm supposed to, am I some kind of judge, you know? Right? Some kind of master chef judge or something? I'm not. But I eat anything, you know? They have a huge spectrum of what is good. Huge spectrum of what is good. What I think is very good, right? But you can still say, thank you, dear, for cooking this. Don't say something like, on our wedding day, I did promise that where you go, I'll follow. But I didn't promise that what you cook, I'll swallow. Right, you don't say that. That's the end of your marriage, right? You can say something like, "Dear, thanks for cooking this. Go home, cook food, even if average is better than, right? Food from outside." You so you show appreciation, but don't try before this. This is very delicious. I mean, don't lie. I mean, this is the ridiculous, right? Yeah, your wife can also know it. You know, you're putting on. You know, but thanks, dear, for cooking. I really appreciate this meal that we spend together. There's some things you can say. You're being honest. And you look at it from a wider, wider perspective. Some of your elderly parents, it's hard because as they grow older, they pick on small things. They hear less, they see less, right? Small things become big, and they're most returning to childhood. And some of you are being tasked with caring for the elderly. So you struggle with giving thanks, but you can still give thanks to God for them, isn't it? That they are around. Amen. Your parents are alive. Praise God. My mother passed away at 72. And so when she, soon after she passed away, and then there was another church member, this is my previous parish, whose mother also passed away. So I know she was in grief. And so one morning we were having breakfast together, after the church service. So we're just sharing and reminiscing a bit. Then we saw across the room a 90-year-old lady, member, eating breakfast on her own. So I asked her, it's a mistake to ask that on a Sunday morning. I said, don't you wish that our mothers live as long as that sister? And she cried on the spot. I also teared. Right? And in a sense, no matter how irritating your elderly parents may be, you want them to live long because you miss them, right? I mean, there's only one mother, one father that you can have. So you can learn. But perspective, you can learn to rejoice. I can still remember this story, still vividly as if it just happened recently. This PCC member, he came up during the altar call. This is my two parishes ago. He came up to the altar call. He lifted his hands here and he sobbed and sobbed in prayer, almost trembling. You know, when someone cried like that, as a PCC member, you're wondering, maybe he has done something very shameful that week, you know. Maybe he's done something wrong. Maybe something very tragic happened. Someone's discovered it with cancer or something in his family. So, of course, I was concerned. I was a pastoral staff there. I walked up to him and said, brother, how can I pray for you? And he said this, it's okay. I'm just being thankful to the Lord for my family. That is really something. That was, to me, a picture of Thanksgiving. They were just sobbing and crying. Just so grateful for his family. That is Thanksgiving. Can you give thanks when there are conflicts around you? You know, there's a Cantonese word that can never be translated properly in any other language, I think. My mother would use it when there are conflicts among my uncles and aunties. She would say this, Tai Hoi Tit. Because you understand Cantonese. Tai Hoi Tit means see something from a broader perspective. Perhaps you're very, someone in your family, right, really creating problem, or your colleagues creating problem for you. So Tai Hoi Tit. Maybe this person is going through some difficulties. Maybe his or her marriage is in shambles. And he comes to office highly pressurized, very angry. So you typhoid it. Don't take it too personally. And we have that such an attitude, you are strong and you can give thanks. Of course, lastly, brothers and sisters, we give thanks for what we have. Now, this overlaps the first 2 points, but let me explain. We give thanks for what we have. So all 10 lepers were healed, only one returned. And I like to imagine the other 9 didn't return because they want to move on. Everyone was thinking, now for the first time, I can enjoy a glass of draft beer. You know, then another one may be saying, I want to see prostitute or something. We never know. Or another one may say, I want to enjoy it. Finally, I can do that. But only one looked at himself and he said, hallelujah, I'm now normal. And I want to go back and say thank you to Jesus. Because he is giving thanks to God for what he has. He's not moving on. He's staying where he is and he's saying, thank you, Lord. And my third point is simply this. Gratefulness comes to those who are contented, who count their blessings, who does not always long for something they don't have. iPhone 7, now you're waiting. iPhone 7, oh, I must have iPhone 7. iPhone 6, not enough. I must have iPhone 7, right? So you're not able to appreciate your iPhone 6. Remember how your first iPhone 5, you queue up for it? Where is it now? Gone, Eddie, right? Somewhere, you know? We live in a world where we are so easily discontented. But thanksgiving comes to those who can rejoice with what they have. And this leper did just that. This leper came back to Jesus and he said, thank you. I want to end on this note, you know, to say, we thank the Lord for St. Andrew's Cathedral. We thank the Lord for this beautiful grounds, for this beautiful building. We thank the Lord that last year has been a great year. There's not been serious disunity issue. The church is largely together. We thank God that in spite of the different languages, different cultures, this is really a melting pot church. That every area has, we have seen growth more or less in almost every area. We thank God for that. I'm going to invite you. Gam just now was talking about Connect Group. That this is a year that you want to grow. This is a year that you want to see God and meet God in a very special way. It's my prayer for you. My greatest prayer for you is that you will grow spiritually. My prayer for you that you don't just come. My prayer for you is not that you will drop money in the offering bank. I can tell you something, this is my least of my concern. Though there's a good discipline, giving is a good discipline. My prayer, many of you I do not know personally, and I'm sure Pastor Freddy shared the same prayer, that you grow spiritually. But we cannot grow if you're not connected, right? Last year, let me just testimony and then we watch a video. My main, 2016 was special for me on many counts. Serving in cathedral, to a cafe, that's great. Cookbook, praise the Lord, right? But my number one point of thanksgiving last year was that finally, I've been trying to do that for a while, finally, once every month, I meet up with a brother. With a brother whom I can share 100%. All my fears, all my struggles, the temptations I go through, my failures, whatever. Moments I can't read the Bible, or my find too pressurizing in ministry. And I cultivated this a very special brother-brother relationship. And he also shares with me just once a month. And that has made 2016 very, very different for me. Because I'm able to connect to the heart of the matter through this brother. And I pray 2 years through 17 will be something special for you. You won't stay isolated, but you'll find a family that can truly grow and change because you are connected to each other. Right. A lot more on the same. We leave it to another sermon. But let's.